The scripture reading for today is from Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. It's page 3 of the bulletin, for those of you who would like to follow along. After the Sabbath at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women turned and hurried from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Thus endeth the reading of his holy word.
Today we have gathered for the highest of the high days of Christian tradition. Today is the day when we celebrate the greatest story ever told, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus was sent by God for the salvation of his people, and that Jesus died and he rose again. Death has lost its victory, the grave has been denied. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. This is the day when we celebrate the truth upon which the Christian faith is based. This is the day when we celebrate the truth of the witness of Scripture and the historical accounts of people who experienced the events of that day. And for over 2,000 years, millions have devoted their lives and sometimes given their lives in response to the events of that first Easter. That first Easter has shaped and reshaped the world in ways that cannot be counted. The faith of individuals, of nations, the faith of multitudes has been informed and grown from this first day of Easter. And the Christian faith has been passed on from generation to generation on the strength of the continuing witness of what began so long ago. Today we celebrate. Today we gather together in joy, not just for those events of the past, but for the blessings of the future which come with that message. And so as I begin today, let me especially say welcome to our guests of the day, and so very glad to have you worshiping with us today. And also, if I might be so bold to say that if you do not have a church home, please consider us. We'd love to have you as part of the Zion family, because the Lord is working in our midst, and it's always exciting to show people what the Lord has done. That's what Easter is all about, is showing the world what the Lord has done. On Easter Sunday, we have a temptation to confront, though. And believe it or not, Lent's over and we're still talking about temptation. Here's the temptation of Easter. It's so tempting to paint Such a glorious picture of generation after generation sailing through all of their obstacles and challenges, going from victory to victory. Every obstacle falling away before the unstoppable power of the Lord God Almighty. And that's a temptation because if we only focus on that kind of stuff, we forget all about the real miracles of Easter, or I should say probably the more significant miracles of Easter, because that's where the resurrection becomes real and alive for us in everyday life. Whereas a long time ago, Anita Bryant said, orange juice wasn't for breakfast anymore. It's the resurrection that tells us that church isn't just for Sunday anymore. The resurrection is about everyday life and living that life to the fullest with a faith for all of the time and not just Sunday. What does that mean for you? Well, I guess we could follow that up with another question. Why are you here today? Is it that you like the music and you enjoy being together? Is it that we had some truly incredible coffee cake today? And I mentioned to a couple folks, I bet you didn't know we had liturgical snacks today. You might not have noticed that the fruit slices covered all the colors of the church here, except for orange. I'm not sure where orange fits in. M&M's in glorious colors. Maybe you're here for the chocolate. Or maybe you're here for something more. Maybe you're here because Jesus is alive in your heart and has been. Maybe you're here because you're wondering how Jesus can be alive in your heart. Maybe you're here because Jesus is alive in your heart and you're looking and you're trying to find the next step to get closer and further into the light. Maybe you're here because you're looking at a way for God to inspire you to make that faith that you have that seems so easy and so confident on a day such as today, one that's also confident in all of life's times. Well, today we have the opportunity to remember that wonderful story, the story which is undergirded by truth. This is the day when we rejoice in the blessings of God that come with every breath that we take. And yet, we wouldn't be entirely honest if we didn't say that oftentimes we might just have a faith that falters. Sometimes, you know, we might hear this story and we might think, you know, this is just a bit too good to be true. Why is it that we have such a hard time accepting something that's the truth? Well, I think some of the temptation comes from a natural human tendency to minimize the negative and accentuate the positive. We're positive, we're an upbeat people, and it's better not to get dragged down in the negativity, am I right? But I think a lot of it comes from living in a world that doesn't tell the truth while insisting it is telling the truth. We've been conditioned to be suspicious of what claims to be the truth, even if it looks good. We warn our children, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. And we have that infamous, by now infamous phrase that we see in so many advertisements that always shows up in the fine print, or at least it has, that says results not typical. In case you're not familiar with that, I'll admit I'm a little bit of a geek in that way. I like reading fine print to see what's going on. That whole phrase came into play in 1980, about 31 years ago now. And that was because after decades of complaints and fantastic claims that didn't have much basis in reality, the Federal Trade Commission said that advertisers had to be truthful. Customers shouldn't have to dodge unscrupulous claims. And so when this rule came into effect, advertisers were then required to clearly disclose the results that a customer could expect from a product. If something was extraordinary or unusual, it had to be accompanied by the disclaimer, results not typical. Well, we know where all that went. They say that the devil's in the details, and very often the details are in fine print, and so you can see amazing things, and the print's so small you can't quite pick it out in a TV screen. And so, you know, really the game didn't change much. And then about 2 years ago, 2009, there was a revision to that rule. And the FTC said there had been enough exploitation, and so now things were going to be fair. There had to be balance in testimonials. So if you have a person who says that such and such product is the neatest thing since sliced bread, in fairness, you had to have somebody else available who would say that it's the worst toast they ever had in their life. Positive and negative had to be included. Well, we know that this really hasn't changed anything. Life's still going on. There's plenty of fantastic claims out there that don't represent reality. And there's lots of loose truth, loose play with the truth, maybe a better way to say it, in many quarters. And so we continue to warn ourselves and warn our children, if it seems to be too good to be true, it probably is. And so, at least as I see it, a natural logical outgrowth of this is that we tend not to accept good things at face value because we've been raised to be suspicious. And so here on Easter morning, what we are doing is we are celebrating an untypical result and something that in the world we live in really does seem like it just might be too good to be true. What typical things happened on Good Friday? Well, there was a man who had been saying that he was the Son of God, and he had enraged the religious establishment. And so, as was often typical, they had him executed. They crucified him. And as was typical when you were crucified, he died. But then he rose from the dead 3 days later, and the results were not typical. And yet you can see the reaction of the world saying that this just can't be true. If you look at the verses that come after our reading for today, up through 11 through 20, there's an interesting play that goes along in here. Because at the end of the reading that we had today, Jesus has told the women, don't be afraid, go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. But then we continue, Matthew 28, 11 through 15. which says, while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city, and they reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. And so the soldiers took the money, and they did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated amongst the Jews to this very day. What happened there? The religious establishment said, nothing untypical going on here. Move along. And we wonder why sometimes we have a hard time accepting truth when it does stand up before us. In a world that cautions us, don't believe it. This is way too good to be true. God came forth and did something that wasn't typical. And we are the better for it. But you know, thinking about the scripture I just read, I think we should ask ourselves, do we really want typical? Because the really neat thing about the way that God has made us is that even in the midst of not trusting, even as we're busy not accepting and we're looking for bad news because it's got to be hiding in there somewhere, in the middle of all of this, God has made us with the capacity to believe and to have faith. God has made us with something within us so that even as implausible and not typical as the resurrection may seem, it can still open up your heart and your soul and change you forever and bring you into life eternal. ...2,000 years have come and gone. And the resurrection is still being reported by people who have caught a glimpse of the risen Christ in everyday life. That's why the resurrection is about everyday faith. Now, most of the time, these sightings are not face-to-face. Pretty much all the time, these things have nothing to do with Easter morning foot grabbing. But there are still eyewitnesses who are reporting that Jesus is alive and Jesus is active. And he's doing it not just in the lives of individuals, but communities. In the days following the crucifixion, everybody assumed the typical thing had happened. Everybody assumed that when a man was crucified, the typical thing happened. He died. But shortly after, God produced results that were not typical. And Jesus is still working through individuals and in life-changing ways and ways, frankly, that aren't typical. And thank God for that. What it comes down to is that when it comes to religious truth, we're always going to find Jesus in the places where life is the messiest. We're going to find Jesus in places where we're not getting along with people. We're going to find places where we're having bad days or even bad years. And that's where we're going to find Jesus. We're going to find Jesus in situations that are full of complexity and uncertainty. We're going to find Jesus in the midst of things that typically don't grab headlines. And so I've got to ask you, why would we want typical in the first place? If things were typical, we would have no hope. If things were typical, the idea that you could be born again would just be pie in the sky. If we settled for typical, we could never be dragged out of any pit that we fell in. If we settled for typical, the worst times of our life could never be something that God would work good through. And granted, sometimes we have to look pretty hard to find it, but fear not. God is there. The risen Christ is with you. If God had done typical things 2,000 years ago, why would we have anything to believe in? The testimony of time that has been shown over and over again is that Jesus is alive and well. And he's especially active in people who share the gospel. Jesus is active and effective in communities that make a priority of loving God and loving their neighbors. Jesus is active and effective in places that work to build up the kingdom of heaven on earth. So definitely, I don't really want anything to do with typical. Because with typical, there's no miracle. And because it's not typical, Christ is risen. He is risen just as the women and just as the guards reported. So this Easter day, wherever you are, wherever you're going, whatever is going on, Jesus is alive. And our first prayer should be that what he does in our lives is not typical. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for doing the things in our lives which are not typical, which are not usual. Because, Lord, when things are not typical, we see you in places where we might not expect you otherwise. Because things are not typical, we have the capacity for wonder. We have the capacity to see you in all circumstances with a faith that is alive every day. And so we pray, Lord, as you send us forth, we would be renewed and we would see anew all of the ways in which the resurrection is making a difference in all of the lives, our life and those around us. Amen.